Jay Harris. You're listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater. If it's happening offstage and on the air, we look at theater from many different angles. We'll be right back.
I'll be hard to handle. I promise you that.
It's Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. And today on the show, we have Real Manifest Theaters, The Realness, along with Emily Ann Theaters, Jane Eyre, The Musical. And of course, we'll have lively discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, beyond, and we can talk about the gremlins at the station. So, you hear that playing in the background, DJ Harris?
I do. What is that?
That is a little Kay Ballard.
Oh.
We lost Kay Ballard this week.
Yeah.
Lisa and I were lucky enough to have her on and interview her.
Cool.
Yeah, really cool. And I tried to choose some different songs today, a lot of Kay Ballard songs today, but all different songs that we didn't really maybe know Kay Ballard for. Like, there were so many that you associated with Kay.
Right.
So I tried to think a little bit outside of the box. So this is from Roberta. The original Broadway musical. Mm-hmm. I had no clue about this musical, but the fun thing about doing things like this, sadly, when people pass away, is you start to look at their repertoire and look at their library, and you find really cool things you never knew about.
Right.
And other people that were in the show or other shows about them. So,
okay.
So this is a little Kay Ballard.
Nicole, about what year was this?
This was in the 40s, I believe. I did not write the year down.
Okay.
And I almost started to, and I was like, I probably should write all these down. And then I did it.
Yeah.
But that one I don't remember as
much.
But
she lived to be like 93.
So I took my glasses off. Probably not going to be a good idea today because Lisa's not here and I need to read. That's I'll Be Hard to Handle from Roberta, the original Broadway cast. So I just want to first, before we start the show, just thank Kim Simpson again for a wonderful hour of International Folk Bazaar. Kim didn't hear it because he left the studio, but we were all in here just discussing how amazing his music is, our guests and everybody here. We were
he
just
always
like,
does a nice job.
He always does a great job. I love listening to the show on the way over here.
Yeah,
it gets me like so excited. It makes me get
thrilled
to come in here. So thank you, Kim. And DJ Harris, thank you today for coming on in here and stepping into some shoes and taking this journey with me while Lisa's out.
I'm happy to help, but I don't expect me to be Lisa. There is no
Lisa. There. I can't be Lisa here. I know.
Yeah.
So today you get Shiro and Harris. There is no Shiro and Shep, Shep's and Shiro, but it's okay.
We're totally okay. We're going to have a whole lot of fun, though. We've got a great group of people here.
We do. And I'm going to introduce everybody because they're all going to join in with us here in this little opening. And it's probably not going to be in the order you are sitting because my blind little behind can't read the names and look at the faces. I'm not that talented. So I'm going to say hello here to Simone Alexander.
Hi.
Hello, Ashley Hazard.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hello. Thanks, you guys, for all being on. It's exciting today. Hello, Bridget Gates.
Hello.
Hello, Devin Colley.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Derek Smoots.
Hi.
Hello, and Madison Tatman.
Hello.
Hello. Full little house we have today.
That's
talking
our show.
About some exciting stuff. So a lot of news. Starting off on the sad note that Kay Ballard passed away. Man, she was one cool, kooky lady. She's a lot of cool, really interesting biographies. A lot of people may know her from TV, from The Mother-in-Laws. It only played for 2 years, but I think that's what kind of got mainstream into knowing who she was outside of the theater community, even though she was in, I don't know, The Golden Apple, you know, Carnival, like
nice.
Maybe some musicals you've heard of. But what was really interesting is that there's a brand new documentary out on her that just premiered like a week ago. And she was actually at the screening and was able to see it. It was earlier this month. It was at the Palm Springs Film Festival. And it's called Kay Ballard, The Show Goes On. Which I was like, how cool in her time and her life that she got to see that. right before she passed. So the documentary, something for all of us to look forward to, and, you know, more of her legacy. The interviews with Ann Margaret, Michael Feinstein, Jerry Stillard, Ballard herself as more, and it highlights and has archival footage of all of her decades of stardom. So she's an interesting woman who was very, her comedy was just so golden, but she was very sharp and witty with her tongue. And she had a lot to say. And, you know, it was really kind of, she always wrote that, you know, I'm not an Oscar caliber actress. I'm not this drop dead beauty. And people were like, you know, she did play the ugly stepsister in Cinderella with Julie Andrews on the live Rodgers and Hammerstein for Cinderella the musical. Right? Yeah. But she was always like that one girl. She laughed about, I remember her in this one interview when they asked her about doing the mother-in-law, and she said, it was so perfect, but it put me into that niche of being the funny Italian lady who laughs. And it put me into that niche just enough from being on air for 2 years that I got a lot of roles from it, but only being on air 2 years, I never made any money or really got the fruits of the labor for then getting stuck with this being the funny Italian actress.
She was niched after that.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting. But God rest her soul. Like, blessed. She was gave us what she did, and wow, so cool. Lisa and I got to like interview her and talk to her, and so
y'all should rerun that interview.
We should rerun that interview. Yeah. We should. I actually, spoiler alert, I chose her legal ID today when we play the legal IDs. Good. We normally do random. I was like, no, we're gonna pick Kay Ballard today, so we will hear a little bit of Kay here at the station, doing a little legal ID later. We did have Carol Channing pass away last week, and we spoke a little bit about it briefly. But CBS this morning did the coolest little montage story piece homage to her life this past Sunday. That was so awesome that we're going to post it and part of our show and put it online. So if you missed that and you want to see it, we'll have that available online for you to check that out. It was just, it was a really nice little, man, a lot of legacies. It's just, I don't like it. We had an opening, but it's not a Broadway opening or an off-Broadway opening, really. It's Atlantic Theater Company's musical. I'm talking about it because we're just talking about out in the station earlier, out in the lobby, we were all kind of personally discussing, like, it's been a lot of going on in theater news lately. So this musical got me a little excited, made me go, The musical's name is called Eddie and Dave. All right. And so the first sentence says on one of these reviews, it's not often that I start a review by nodding to a hair and wig designer, but truly, the ever-reliable Cookie Jordan, currently represented on Broadway by The Cher Show, deserves the shout-out for her new work downtown, where she's summoning the tonsorial splendor of other late 20th century pop stars. And she said the sources of inspiration are the title characters Eddie and Dave. Now, are you ready for who Eddie and Dave are, folks? Drumroll! This is about one of the best epic rock rivalries ever between Eddie Van Halen and sweet-faced, blazingly virtuosic guitarist for the band bearing his surname, David Lee Roth, and the group's charismatic frontman, who relatively modest gifts as a singer mattered less than his talent for the comically flamboyant outfits and persona he had. I was like, wait, stop, hold on. There's a musical about Eddie Van Halen and the David Lee Roth and their rivalry? Get out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the hair. Apparently the hair is
good. And the hair. Well, it's a lot of metal hair as I show the...
Oh, yeah, those are good pictures.
See, the listeners now saw it too. So I died laughing and I'm like, could this get any better? Oh, but it does. This I think is so cool. So they gender reversed roles in the show. So the person playing the character of Valerie Bertinelli was, for people who don't know Valerie Bertinelli from One Day at a Time, Valerie Bertinelli. I think she hosts some cake show with Duff right now, some kids cooking or something. But she was married to Eddie Van Halen for years. So that whole part of the history in the show, Valerie Bertinelli's character is played by a man.
Hmm.
And David Lee, I want to say David Lee Roth is played by a woman.
Uh-huh.
So they all switch. So bassist, the sole male cast member, only one male cast member, one, playing Valerie Bertinelli. Mm-hmm. They say that they don't really, bassist Michael Anthony is only mentioned briefly in the 90-minute play because the VJ quips, quote, "There's not enough time," unquote, to dwell on the fourth original member. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like everything from like reliving it. I'm dating myself, folks. I remember all this in real time. So they just went on. They actually say it's pretty cool. They have different stuff in here from music that they have kind of stuff. There's pre-recorded original compositions by Michael Thurber. It says it's something of a requiem for a bygone time, pre-reality TV, which made MTV's original programming irrelevant as surely as video had killed the radio star earlier. And before snark, which is refreshingly absent in this play and has become a defining feature of pop culture. So I was kind of like, this fascinates me. This fascinates me. So Eddie and Dave got a little airtime today. New York Theater Review has two completely different reviews. They had a theater reviewer review it. And then this other woman who reviewed it, her name is Elsa Gardner. And she writes a lot for, she covers theater too, but she writes a lot more for music and Billboard. So I found it two very different reviews and interesting. And we'll post both of those online, but it made me giggle. Eddie and Dave, people. Eddie and Dave. I want to know what... Yes. And one... Yes. And I want to know... All played by women. And the playwright, actually... I want to say the playwright, Amy Stott, is who wrote it. And I want to say I think she plays Eddie. I'm almost positive she plays Eddie. And I didn't... Of course, I didn't mark it, and I can't see that. I need better glasses. So here, if y'all want to read that, I'll pass it around. But that just got me excited, and I can't wait to see where that goes. I love rock and roll on stage. And it's a play, which I think is so cool, because it's about music, but you don't have to just throw music in there to throw music in there. Like, it's a play.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. That, I don't know.
That does sound nice. And it's not like one of those jukebox
It's musicals. Not a jukebox yeah. musical. And so, I don't know. It all sounds interesting. Yeah. So this Sunday on la télévision, or the telly, as they like to say in England, will be Rent Live.
Oh.
For the 20th anniversary of Rent. So, so how does everyone feel about that? I got a lot of, oh, yeah.
I love Rent.
You like I do.
I'm obsessed with Rent.
I have a personal love for it. I was still living in New York. I saw the workshops. I saw it on Broadway. Like, Rush tickets all started with, like, Rent in Chicago at that time. So, like, people didn't used to camp out. Like, what you see for Hamilton and stuff, that didn't happen. Rent did it. Rent, like, you camped out to see Rent. So it's a very special, special place in my heart for me. I don't know how I feel about watching it on the TV on Sunday, though. I want to be excited. And I don't know.
This is one of those live things like they've been doing on television more recently.
It is. It is. So, and they've changed stuff. They've changed.
Ask if they made it.
Speak right up in there, Bridget.
So far, all of the live musicals they've done have been pretty like family friendly. So that's what I was wondering.
Yes, this is definitely not your Grease or Christmas Story. I mean, Superstar, I guess, went on the edge. This one, I think, is Fox, and the other were NBC. I think those are the two stations that like to do the musicals. But this one has Vanessa Hudgens. Tinashe is in it playing Mimi. Brandon Dixon. Oh my God, why am I going to say his name wrong? Hamilton. And he just was in Superstar playing Judas. Brandon Victor Dixon. There we go. I was like, gonna get it out. It's those three first name people throw me off. They just, the Hedwig. John Cameron Mitchell, he does the same thing to me sometimes. And sometimes I say James Cameron Mitchell because of darn James Cameron. So it's that three named. Yeah. So hello. Sorry, Brandon. So it's on live. The commercials have been interesting. I don't know. Has anyone seen the commercials?
I have.
Have you? What have you thought of them? Which one have you seen? And you get right up into that microphone.
I don't know which one it is. I've only seen the one, but I didn't know that was the next one that they were doing for the live production. And I think it's pretty cool. Like it kind of exposes theater to maybe somebody that wouldn't see it before. So I think it's a kind of a really special thing. I'm kind of excited about it. So,
well, the title of this USA Today piece is How Rent Sings About Drugs, AIDS, and Death in Primetime. Not your typical TV musical. So, I mean, there's a lot of F-bombs. There's a lot of content that isn't. So, I mean, obviously they're going to take some of that out. It's not surprising. There is the Rent Jr. for high school versions. So there is edited versions out there. So I was like, what are they doing? Well, they had a little interview and they told me some of the stuff they were doing. Tinashe is changing a lot of the different stuff. You know, Light My Candle is a song about hiding your stash. Well, it is, but it isn't. So I'm kind of like, I don't know how to feel about that. They said, obviously, don't expect Mimi to strip tease for Out Tonight. Well, I figured that as much. They are starting this musical an hour later than they normally do. So most of them start at 7 p.m. and this one will be starting at 8 p.m. Central Time. So depending on what your time zone is, they'll be an hour later. Characters are getting refreshes too. Love this. Fisher is going to be the first person of color playing Mark. Hello, it's 20 years later. Does Mark really mean like it's a dude who can't pay his rent? Why does color have to be involved? Why do we wait 20 years for that one? But he is so, so excited. He's been obsessed with the role forever and has watched Anthony rap forever. And he's like, this has been my dream role. So he gets me excited when he talks about playing Mark. There is actually going to be more context about the AIDS epidemic. And there's always going to be more about how the world perceives everything. Maureen, Vanessa Hudgens said she's redefining her character Maureen. I don't know how you redefine the character Maureen. But she said something more about the darkness versus light. I don't know. They said it's going to be more immersive. I don't know. I mean, I hated the movie, but at the same time, I love the movie. So, like, maybe I'll like this. I mean, I love Superstar. And I thought Superstar was okay, the live version.
Right.
So, I don't know. But it's on Sunday for those folks who are interested in seeing more about it. And we'll do this article. It has a whole bunch of really cool stuff in it, but it's already getting into time, and I want to pop through a few more notes of stuff. So, there is this new show. We're going to have to post the pictures online. Oh my gosh. It is a queer musical nightclub experience inspired by Oscar Wilde. And it is called Oscar at the Crown. And OMG, I want to be at this club right now. Because once again, I will date myself. I was one of those club kids at the Limelight and at the Tunnel and all during that. Those club kids, you know, that did naughty things. And it just looks like all of that again and more. And who doesn't love Oscar Wilde? So it comes from the minds of the queer performance collective, the Neon Covens. There are three founders, the creator and stars Mark Morelio, composer and choreographer Andrew Barrett Cox, and director Shira Milkowski. It is set in a far dystopian future where little has survived save for sequence, reality TV, and the complete works of Oscar Wilde. The show also aims to challenge social media-obsessed sensibilities of today and push attendees to dance in the face of fascism. This just sounds interesting. It opened, it started performances on January 18th, and these photos of the whole experience just look so cool. I love when people like artivism and do really funky, cool things and put it in a place where people aren't normally experiencing theater like in a nightclub, mm-hmm. and getting a whole nother group of people to look at theater in a different way. So cool. So excited. This is another really cool. This sounds interesting. So there's a new musical coming out. It's going to be at Seattle's Fifth Avenue. It is called Marie. Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty are writing the music, and it is a musical inspired by the 14-year-old dancer that Degas did all of his paintings and artwork on, which I kind of think is a little brilliantly twisted in a cool way. So New York City Ballet principal Danier, Tyler Peck, is going to return to the role of Marie. Because they've already have tested this out and done stuff. So I think this is so cool once again, bringing in the bat, like crossing these different types of genres together into art. So cool. Louise Pitre will be Adult Marie. Dee Hody will be Mary Cassatt. Karen Zimba. Hello, love me some Karen Zimba. Martine Van Gotham. Jenny Powers is Antoinette Van Gotham. Kyle Harris is Christian. Christopher Gurr is Corbel. And the Degas understudy. And Noelle Hogan as Charlotte Van Gotham. So I don't know the whole, like, they've done a lot of work. It premiered in 2014 at the Kennedy Center. And I guess since they did that premiere, they have reworked this bad boy over and over. So this just sounds interesting. What a smart idea to like create your own story out of something we all know so well. Lots of things closing and opening off Broadway and Broadway. American Son with Kerry Washington and Stephen Pasquale and Jeremy Jordan and Eugene Lee is closing. But don't worry, it's going to be on Netflix. And that's on a different page, so you're going to have to wait for me to tell you when that's going to happen. But yes, American Son with Kerry Washington and Jeremy Jordan and Stephen Pasquale will be on Netflix. The other one, other two sad ones that make me sad that are closing is the Kinky Boots. Because I love Kinky Boots. And when Lola came on the show, she let me wear her Kinky Boots. Yeah, that was very exciting. Lisa and I giggled. And Avenue Q, all these decades, years later, still running off Broadway, Avenue Q is closing. I know. So there's a different stuff. This was an article I'm going to mention quickly. We'll post it. Lisa saw The Ferryman. We've talked about The Ferryman a whole bunch. We've talked about that there are nine. Not only is the cast enormous, 32 people, I think, but the nine children in the show. It was like Lisa was so fascinated by the children of the show that someone at Playbill must have heard her and decided to do an interview with the nine kids of The Ferryman and how they reveal about creating a cast of characters and creating this family on stage. This is the coolest interview with all these kids. They are the happiest, like these smiley little faces that are just enjoying themselves thoroughly. So we will put that on there. I just love that it was Lisa had that on there and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, here's another. Mystic Pizza the musical. Exactly. And guess who's gonna write the music?
I can't.
Somebody bring me some water. Melissa Etheridge. Yes. Must we say anything else about that? I don't know. I'll wait to hear more before I put my full opinion on it. But yes, that will be happening. American Son. It is going to be on the streaming platform. It doesn't say when, really. You just went on to Jimmy Fallon and said you were doing it, but then you didn't tell me when. They're filming it in February. I find that interesting. They closed January 27th.
I think it's because they're filming it in like this immersive way. At least when she was explaining it on Jimmy Fallon, it was like, oh, we're going to put cameras on all angles, so it's less like we're just filming a play.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then that does make sense that they're filming in February. So. I mean, Netflix gets that out pretty quick, so I'm sure there'll be another some more news about it. So, all right, well, interesting. So, we'll have to look in the spring, I guess. And that would be my phone. I didn't turn off. I just heard. Excuse me. So, they did get. Did you all know there's a Michael Jackson musical? because why wouldn't there be? Mm-hmm. There's one on everyone else right now. So they actually announced it is going to premiere in Chicago before Broadway. The King of Pop is ready for his first Broadway bow, but he's heading to the Windy City first. It's called Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, and it's going to begin performances October 29th. It still is opening on Broadway 2020. They have a very interesting marketing campaign. This little picture of Jackson dancing on his toes, which is very iconic. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing on the site, but these things come up and they ask you to sign up for a secret.
Oh.
Yeah, I was all on there and I was like, you know, as someone who does marketing and PR, I was like, quite brilliant. Mm. But no, I don't want to sign up for all this, but quite brilliant. And of course, I ended up because I want to know.
Yeah. So, Nicole, do you know, is that going to be a story or is that going to be one of those?
It's apparently supposed to have his music. And I think it is the story. But I also, if I remember correctly, the last time Lisa and I had talked about, like when they were in workshop and talking about it, I think it's a lot of his younger mm-hmm. years. And how he became to where he are. But, you know, using the image that they're using, that's not younger years.
No,
that's like way past Thriller. So yeah. I remember staying up late to watch that Grammys. That was everything. I'm mad at him, though. He died on my birthday. Yeah. So I was like, I've
June
been mad
26th.
At him since June 25th.
Fifth.
Yep. Who? And George Michael has the same birthday, too.
Oh.
I know. But he died too, so now I can't share it with him either. I'm mad at both of them.
Well,
so
you're still here.
Maybe
Nicole.
They'll get back to me. Maybe George and Michael let me know how they feel.
Oh, yeah.
So the last thing I'm going to talk about is there is Skittles commercial, the Broadway musical. Have y'all seen this?
What?
Yes. It's a 30-minute Broadway musical called Skittles commercial, the Broadway musical. And there's a minute and a half little commercial right now of Michael C. Hall sitting in a shrink's office talking about how everybody wants him to do Super Bowl ads, but he doesn't like doing ads and that's just ridiculous. So instead, what he wants to do is a live 30-minute musical commercial. And the shrink's talking to him like, well, you're going to charge people? And he's like, well, yeah, you can buy tickets. It's going to be a full musical. And it goes on and on. And then they reveal that he's actually like on a stage. The audience is clapping at him through therapy. And like his alter ego Scarecrow shows up. And it's really a 30-minute musical about Skittles. This is like the commercial for like the Super Bowl and stuff. It's being done at this town hall. I don't know what I did with the piece of paper that had all the information. We will post the commercial and the information. Oh, here it is. It's so this ad is going to be happening. It's the entire thing benefits Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Good.
All the proceeds. So it is going to be at Town Hall in Times Square on February 3rd at 1 p.m. is actually the show Skittles commercial, the Broadway musical. I kid you not. So Will Eno is penning the book, kid you not, and the official feature additional music material by Nathaniel Lawler and music by Drew Gasparini, and Sarah Benson, the artistic director of Soho Rep, will direct with choreography by Raha Feather Kelly. And let me tell you something. He has probably about 15, 20 different Broadway stars in Skittles commercial, the Broadway musical.
So,
through song and dance, the musical will take a self-reflective look at consumerism and the ever-increasing pervasiveness of brand advertising. OMG, I am laughing so hard. So
Nicole, that kind of sounds like a California Raisins sort of a thing to me.
It's not really though. When you see it, you'll. I should have burned the commercial into sound for us, but I didn't. I failed on that. Sorry.
We'll look at the website later.
We're gonna be back. Come talk to our guests here in a second. I'm gonna go out with a little more of Kay Ballard. This is from Z, the Masked Musical of Zorro. Because see, would you have expected that with Kay Ballard? Not really, right? This is called Dance of Love, and it's also Phyllis Newman and Lynn Haverson are also in the number two, and we'll be back in a minute.
The Dance of Love.
See how the men struck to impress.
And we are back. We've been having fun today. We've all been giggling in the background. We are going to talk to our guests here at the New Manifest Theater with their new show, The Realness. Welcome Simone Alexander and Ashley Hazard. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello. I love that you both stood up and stood all pretty and you're like, hello, hello. You know what? Just so I don't have to cut in the middle of our interview, I'm going to play our lovely little legal ID here real quick. And listen to Kay Baller for just 1 second, and then we'll be right back with our guests. Oh, maybe not. It doesn't want to. It apparently does not want to play right now.
They're bringing it for the song.
But that's okay. Let's see if we can get Kay Baller to work now.
AOOP Hornsbury, Austin, 91.7 FM. No, oh no, Shelley Winters, what do you have to say? I don't know. I don't know. You're listening to Offstage and on the air.
She was on and then cut off. I forgot that she got all crazy and did her Shelley Winters crazy talking with her. Shelley Winters, what's going on? That she was having that whole moment with herself. Okay, Kay, we miss you. So Simone and Ashley, this is kind of exciting. Can you guys tell me about this show, The Realness, a breakbeat play? And this is the regional premiere, if I am correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Awesome. Tell me about this. This looks fascinating because, again, this is like the music and hip hop and theater and like gets me a little excited. So what is The Realness?
So The Realness is a coming of age story set in the 1990s, surrounded by hip hop culture and hip hop history. And it follows the character T.O. as he goes to college for the first time in a big city, and the difference between the big city life versus his suburb life and all of the people he meets in the city, including Ashley's character, Prima.
Prima. Okay. Well, the 90s in hip hop, a lot was going on.
Totally.
A lot was going on. So is it that flamboyant and crazy as it was? Like, you're set in the 90s?
Yeah, absolutely. We even explored the deaths of Tupac, death of Biggie during that era. And it was just everything that was going on during that time, but also the people in the communities and how they were reacting at the time. Underground hip hop scene and all of those things.
Yeah, that's what was so cool about the 90s and everything that was going on in the hip hop world is this giant, besides the East Coast, West Coast, and what everyone knew, this giant underground scene, and that there were all these different artists in these different areas breaking out. So cool. So how do you incorporate music into this piece with the text and with the script?
So Idris Goodwin is the playwright, and he does such an amazing job of incorporating the music into the play. So even if you're just reading the play, it tells you where beats are supposed to come in, where beats are supposed to exit. And it's almost like the undercurrent, like another character of the whole play, which is super interesting and intriguing to read as a producer and director, that I just was so drawn to making it come alive.
That is kind of interesting. Almost, I guess, if you feel like your life is a musical or the soundtrack of your life, but then to actually like read somebody writing like that.
Oh, totally.
Is that kind of how it felt? So did you get to work with the playwright at all or have any conversation or?
No. So I have been in contact with him since this is the only other time it's been done since the very first time, which I believe was in Minnesota, I want to say. So he has been contacting us and is aware of our show, and we'll give him production photos and kind of let him in on where we are in the production process and stuff. But he's been super supportive. It's been great just to have him as a communicator in this process.
So where did you stumble upon this piece? How did this come in front of you?
So
that you even like began to open up the pages and see the realness of the realness.
Totally.
You know, I'm like really like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, I moved to Austin a couple of years ago now, and I've really been wanting to be involved in theater anyways, and I'm a director by myself. But this year we launched New Manifest Theater Company. And this play I had been reading from playscripts.com, who has the rights for it. And as soon as I read it, I was just amazed that it hadn't been produced before. And I was just like, why isn't anybody like in the know about this play? It's just so fresh and so new and so unlike anything else I had read that it was really a calling to just do it.
That's really, really cool. That gets me excited when you, it's kismet. It's the blueprint of life. You're supposed to be in the right place. So Ashley, tell me a little bit about your character.
Yes, Prima is in that underground scene where she is really, she's self-motivated. She's trying to come up into the burgeoning hip-hop scene around her. But she also has a lot of personal obligations, financially speaking, and taking care of her family, which is such a juxtaposition to T.O., the person that comes into the neighborhood. And it's just kind of that balance of power and that dynamic of discovering how she can make her way in the world with all of those outside forces.
Ah, so how many people are in the cast?
Five total.
Cast of five.
Oh, that's a nice little group. That's mm-hmm. a nice little group of people. So I guess if you're looking, I don't know if that's a good question because I don't want to give away the ending of the show. So you know what? I'm going to keep that question and boggle it down because I feel like I would set you guys up to be like, Nicole, I can't answer that. They would give it all away. So if someone wasn't into hip hop or someone doesn't really know about hip hop culture, would this still be a play for them?
Oh, totally. I think along with people who are obsessed with hip hop, it's a good like nostalgic view of that period of time. For somebody who doesn't know anything about hip hop, I think it's just a historical lesson in what was going on in the 1990s for this group of people.
Yeah. And you also have a chance to look at it through T.O.'s eyes, who is new to that era as well, mm-hmm. and that sort of community. So you're so seeing it through his eyes.
Who are some of the other characters in the show? So we have Prima and T.O.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's really T.O.'s story. He meets Prima. Prima also has a partner at the time that he meets her named Lord Style. So that's another main character. He's another
kind of love that's Lord Style.
Oh yeah. He's another MC character that we get to meet. And then Prima has a friend named Roy from the town who comes in, and Tio has his professor from school that comes in. And then all of those three actors who play Lord Style, Roy, and Prima also play multiple other rapping characters throughout the play.
That is so, so exciting. So you have already been open one weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how have audiences been reacting to this piece?
It's been really great. The last show we did was sold out on Saturday. So it's at the Maestro George Theater downtown. I actually got to meet one of Idris Goodwin's students, and she was just saying how proud he would have been and just how much his voice is throughout the play. So it's been really well received. Have you had any other feedback?
Yeah, just all great feedback. People who've never heard of this story, didn't even know it existed, and just are glad that it's being made.
That's so exciting. Well, we're running out of time, sadly, but I'm so glad A, that you've started this new theater company, and B, that you're doing really cool work like this and bringing new work into Austin. Lisa and I've talked about it a lot lately. We've had some really amazing new work come to our town, and we have been blessed as a city to have some awesome theater all in the Central Texas area. So this is something that we don't normally get, and that's awesome because different strokes for different folks, that's what makes the world go round. I you know, I don't want to see the same thing all the time. I want to see something different, and this is different. So if this theater, I wanted to ask about this theater. I don't know this theater that well. So how big is this theater?
So it's pretty intimate. We have a total of 40 seats in this theater, and it's very close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. So how does that performing with the audience that close?
It's definitely like a black box element. So even when we are having the scenes where we're rapping and going through those scenes, it's almost like that sort of an audience experience, like the underground hip hop scene and being in those different mm-hmm. clubs and things like that. So that's how it feels. So it brings a new element of authenticity.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you will stay for some backstage offstage.
Definitely.
Of course.
Yay. Yay! And we'll learn a little bit more about you, and we maybe talk a little bit more about the show too. So that was Simone Alexander and Ashley Hazard with New Manifest Theater's The Realness, a breakbeat play. It is playing January 17th through the 26th at the Mastro George Theater. It's off Pedernales Street. For more information, you may visit newmanifest.org.
Stiff upper lip, stout fella.
That was a little more of Kay Ballard. That was Stiff Upper Lip from A Damsel in Distress off of a album called Gershwin Rarities from the 1953-54 Walden Sessions. Quickly going to go through local because we got to get to our next guests. Reminder that the Frontera Fest, the short and long fringe are both happening. Short's happening at Hyde Park Theater. Long's at the Ground Floor Theater. But if you visit Hyde Park Theater's website, they have all that information to see what's happening, because the long fringe goes till the 2nd and the short fringe runs of February, and the short is to like the 17th, I think, because those finals are in that 13th week. I also wanted to talk about This Girl Laughs, This Girl Cries, This Girl Does Nothing. This was a show that UT's grad students did and devised, and they brought the piece over as a co-pro to Zach right now, and they have like a few more performances left. It is so cool. This Girl Laughs, This Girl Cries, This Girl Does Nothing. And today in theater history, I wanted to go over it, but I can't go over it because today is Cheetah Rivera's birthday.
Oh.
And if I don't wish one Cheetah Rivera happy birthday, I am not a good theater lover. So happy birthday, Miss Cheetah Rivera. I love you. And then I actually think I chose this song. I didn't switch it out for Kay Ballard. I left it on here. This was a crazy musical, an unlikely combination of Kurt Weill, Ira Gershwin, Gertrude Lawrence, and Danny Kaye. There's a group of four crazy people. They made a musical called Lady in the Dark, a psychological profile of a female business executive. So I, of course, there's a Jenny in it because everything Kurt does has a character named Jenny. So there's a little bit of, I chose a little bit of the song Jenny. We're going to hear that for 1 second. Listen to a message and be right back with our next guest, Emily Ann Theater with Jane Eyre the Musical.
Who's Jenny? Never heard of Jenny. Jenny is out of play.
And we are back. We are just having a good old time in here today.
Lots of fun.
We just had New Manifest Theater on with their production of The Realness. And now we're going to switch to something completely different because this is so cool. We have so many different things to choose from. Or we could see them all. That's what's so exciting. Yes. We can do everything. We now have Emily Ann Theater on with their production of Jane Eyre the Musical. Yes. Hello, hello to everyone. All right, I'm going to reintroduce everyone. Bridget Gates.
Hello.
Hello, Bridget. Devin Colley.
Hello.
Hello. Derek Smoots.
Hi.
Hello. And Madison Tatman.
Hello.
Hello. And am I correct, Devin, you are playing one Jane Eyre?
I am playing Jane Eyre.
Oh, yes. We have Jane in the house. Derek, you are playing Edward Rochester?
Yes.
Oh, lovely. And Madison, you are the music director.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
I love it. Lady music director. Whipping it into Jane.
And she is rocking it out so hard. She's been just amazing and put so much.
She said that with a true smile, too. And that doesn't always happen with musical direction. That's so exciting. So I'm going to assume Jane Eyre and the Musical might be musical based on Jane Eyre, the novel?
Yes. Yeah,
you
so
are correct.
I saw it in Broadway in 2000. And like just, it's always been one of my favorite books. But the musical, the book is like so poetic and musical anyway that it really lends itself to being a musical. I saw it, fell absolutely in love with it. It's been like one of my dream shows ever since. So like this year, I just was like, this is the year. We're going to do it.
It's a, I saw a workshop of it. Ironically, I saw a workshop of Little Women, the musical, and a workshop of Jane Eyre, the musical. I haven't gone to a lot of workshops in New York, but I was like, is it two very similar, like that period and the classic literature. And I was like, God. I think today in theater history, is the opening of Little Women, the musical. Ironically, fantastic. Yes, I think that is a Today in Theater History. But yeah, the music is really haunting and not what you expect when you think of Jane Eyre, the classic novel.
And it really focuses, the music really brings to light, like, I love it because it, you know, Jane Eyre is considered the first feminist novel.
Mm-hmm.
And the music is really about, like, Jane and her her independence and, like, gaining her her liberty. And, like, it's really beautiful and touching.
So if one's read the novel or one hasn't read the novel, I mean, how similar is the story?
It's exactly
through.
It's really
it really
exact.
Is.
It's really
even
surprising.
A lot of lines straight from the novel.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
Nice.
And that doesn't always happen. I mean, you normally just can't get that all into a show into 2.5 hours. I mean, it's just hard to do that.
Yeah.
So that's super, super, super exciting. So how has it been directing something like this? The music is pretty, it's cerebral. It's challenging.
It's beautiful. Paul Gordon did a great job doing both the lyrics and the music. The cast has been fantastic with being able to learn all this hard music. So it's not an easy thing. A lot of the songs have clashing notes, have things that make them think it's wrong, but I have to reassure them that it's correct and they're doing everything right. And they're doing such a great job. There's a cappella music in this. There's so many different things happening. That's just beautiful.
So how big is your cast?
So we have 28 cast members, I think, but 12 of those are children because there's a schoolgirl scene.
All right, Bridget, how's that directing 28 people and 12 children?
It's actually a small cast for us, so. so no, it's been.
I love that everyone at New Manifest Theater is looking at you like, what?
Yeah, our outdoor summer musicals usually have about, you know, 45 people. So, but this is in our, what makes this challenging is a lot of people, and this is in our indoor studio space. So it's in the round. We only seat 72. It's a complete opposite of our outdoor amphitheater space.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you about that. I saw it was in the indoor space and I was like, wait, I don't think I've really seen anything in that space.
You haven't seen, you and Lisa came and saw the first show we decided it was in a trailer.
It was
the
trailer was the one indoor space we did. I have to tell you, Lisa and I took a field trip out to the Emily Ann Theater. This was a few years ago.
Oh, like 9 years ago.
And we were on the Gator driving all over the property. And it was really cool, like Jurassic Park, like, yeah, but like theatrical at the same time.
Now we've upgraded from performing in a trailer to we actually have an indoor studio theater.
And I knew that was you had told us that was the goal and you had just installed this and showed us the seating. And that was a nice little space you built. So this is now in this space that was the vision back in the day.
Yes.
And now has a nice and intimate. I love that. Two little intimate shows today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Little Birdie told me y'all are prepared to perform something today. Is that correct?
We are. So this song is called Sirens. It's also the show that they performed at the Tony Awards because the show was nominated for several Tonys in the year 2000.
Year 2000.
Exactly. But Jane and Rochester are both just starting to realize that they're kind of falling for one another, starting to develop a relationship. So in this song, they're in two different spaces, though they're singing together.
Awesome. Well, we are going to have a little performance here by Devin Colley and Derek Smoots from Jane Eyre the Musical. As we show how the sausage is made it offstage and on the air, you will all have to control your own volume, performers.
So
just so you listeners know, that way they can hear what's going on. And we're going to have a performance right now.
Damn the passion, damn the skies, damn the light that's in her eyes. I know too well where it has led before. She saves me, but I can't be saved. Frees me, but I'm still enslaved. Now I battle what I most adore. Oh, let me sail away. I make this vow that what my heart wants I cannot allow. For as sirens call the sailors, she calls me now.
God save him if he can be saved, free him if his soul's enslaved, clear the clouded refuge of his mind, quell his anger, calm his storm, let his spirit be reborn, help him gather sight where he is blind, for I believe.
where I am blind and free, for a siren's call, a sailor
bring him peace.
She calls to me. I cannot stand another knock, my body dashed upon the rocky shore. The darkness that invades my soul, it sucks my blood, it takes control. Well, I will not endure it anymore. Damn the passion, damn the skies, damn the light that's in her eyes. I know too well where it has led before. She saves me, but I can't be saved. She frees me, but I'm still enslaved. Now I battle what I most adore. Oh, let me sail away, get lost at sea, where I won't hear her voice, where I am blind and free, for a siren's call, a sailor.
I'll bring him.
She calls to me.
Okay, that got really epic in here. Wow. Yay!
Man, I got goosebumps.
That's exciting. So, yeah, that's really very dissonant, and music's opposite
it's
of what you're singing.
It's so
and
haunting because the story lends itself so well to like just the gothic, like Victorian romance, and it's just beautiful. We all are just gush and nerd out over it every time we're in music rehearsal. We're like, oh, it's so good, but it's hard, but it's beautiful. When you nail it, you nail it hard.
That has to be daunting, though. I mean, as a performer, when you hear music that's so different, that doesn't always, you know, the melody isn't always fit, or it's different than what you're singing. Absolutely. I mean, how is that from a performing aspect for you? Like trying to put that all together.
I mean, it's a fun challenge, and it's, like I said, like it lends itself so well to the story, and I feel like we don't have to work very hard, you know, to capture the essence of the story. The music does it so well for us. It's just been, and you know, obviously we have such great music direction. It's been really, really, really helpful. It's just so magical and beautiful, and we love.
Okay, y'all are like the happiest people on earth over here. I'm just like, Bridget, that has to make you happy as a director, right?
It's a pretty great group. Yeah. So we're in the first three rehearsals, and like everything just was like gelling together. And the show's like highly stylized, you know? So like the flow of the show, it's just like people come in and out, and I'm having all of the characters as part of the ensemble. So they're like ghosts of Jane's past, and they just step in and out of the story. And it's a phenomenal, fantastic group, been a really lovely experience, and we're just now like heading into Tech Week this next week.
I was about to say, so y'all are in rehearsals right now, mm-hmm. and you're going into Tech Week, so you're now adding all the other crazy elements along with the crazy That's musical right. elements, so That's how's right. that going?
I do need to give a little shout out. We have like a really phenomenal lighting designer,
oh,
too,
yes.
that I feel insanely
Tell us about
lucky
your design team.
Yeah, so his name is Chris McKnight, and he's been, like he and I have been working together for the last 9 years. I've been working at the Emily Ann, and we've been working together so long and in so many shows. So, I mean, we've done like over 60 shows together at the Emily Ann now, just the two, like, you know, together. And so, like, we just, we'll like go eat dinner and like, we're going to talk about lights. And then I can just say, he's like, this feels like, and we'll say like a word. And then like, we go out and he just does it. Like, we just know each other so well, you know, and he's brilliant. I feel so blessed to have him. I feel like I have like the best talent, but also, well, not the best. We're all talented, but amazing talent, but also like really amazing people. So we have just a really phenomenal like group of people out there.
But just superheroes.
Really,
you can, everybody can have their own little superhero
That's right.
group.
Absolutely.
There's enough for everyone to go
That's
around.
Right. Yes.
That's so exciting. So I have to ask you, Devin, how is it playing? I mean, people know Jane Eyre. It's a character or a name, or even if they've never read the book, you've heard the name Jane Eyre. So, I mean, how does that, stepping into a role of a character or a persona, or, you know, that everybody knows so well?
It's been amazing. I love Jane Eyre. It is one of my favorite classic literature novels. The novel by Charlotte Bronte, I remember, was the first book I ever read from start to finish without being forced to, like in class, that I actually like got myself. And I always identified very strongly with her because she had all of these beliefs that she, you know, she has such a harsh growing up in, you know, kind of a tortured beginning. And then she's put into this really cool position where all of a sudden she's like, oh, I feel like I'm at home, it's somewhere I belong, and meets this man that's just so strange. And they both are kind of the opposite of the norm. So it's been, and she's just so strong in her beliefs and her steadfastness. And I love carrying that through the story. And she's amazing. She's such a great character.
I have to just say real quick, because Devin won't say about herself. I think it's really cool because Devin is like a really strong female, but Devin is also a female pilot.
In real life?
In real life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So's Lisa. So's Lisa's awesome. Chef. Yes, that's I'm so awesome. Bummed. You guys can't talk about your pilotness. Yes, because I love that Lisa's a pilot, yes. too. Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is really
cool. Well,
we're
going to talk about that more on backstage, so yes. hold that.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly. So it's going to be a little callback.
All right,
that.
Yes. So mm-hmm. When folks want to tune into the podcast, those that are listening live, when you listen to the podcast, you'll be able to hear more about that because we're going to talk pilot talk here awesome. Coming up. Well, thank you all so much for coming on. We are plumb out of time. It was another lovely episode. Let me tell folks about the information and say goodbye. That was Emily Ann Theater's Jane Eyre the Musical. It'll be playing February 1st through February 24th at the Emily Ann Theater. For more information, you may visit emilyann.org. Stand by next for Austin Monitor News. We're going to be back next week as we take a look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Actually, no, we're off next week, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
We are off next week. Do not listen next
well,
week.
Well, no, I'll be off.
DJ Harris.
I'm
yes,
be
I
was doing
like, you
show
can listen,
tunes.
But you will not get Nicole. You will get DJ Harris.
Right.
He's not leaving, folks. He
no,
is
I'll be
staying
stay
another
whole
week.
Week.
And then Lisa and I will be back the following week. And we're just going to go out with like literally just a few seconds of My Mama Thinks I'm a Star from Here Comes the Wave. It's the Mostly Mercer album, a little Kay Ballard. And thank you to everyone. And we'll see you next week.
I see my maker.
My mama thinks I'm a star.
Hello. We are all backstage at Behind the Dumpsters when we just got a little bit of Get Out the Musical. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
It's the theme number and we all can't stop singing it. Hello. Hello. So thank you all for joining me here behind the dumpsters. And we haven't had anyone come and clean up yet. I'm so, so sorry. But, you know. Little spray will make it all better. So we're just going to jump in and say a little hi. This is where we get to learn a little bit about everybody. And you know what? Devin, I'm going to start right with you because we left off with pilot and we're going to pick this right back up. So you, my dear, have a pilot's license?
I do. I do. I actually got to get it as part of my college degree. I got my Bachelor of Arts in English and then part of my free electives was to go learn how to fly. So I got licensed last year. I have my private pilot's license. I'm actually working on my instrument rating right now, so you can fly in the clouds. And I am also interviewing to fly for the Air Force Reserves.
Whoa, that's yes. Okay. So I was about to say, so is this just small private planes? But if you are going to put yourself in for the Air Force Reserves, I'm
yes.
going to say no on that.
Well, I right now, yes, I do just fly the little small 172, trainer airplanes by myself. But yes, hopefully, I'm hoping to fly the big, they call them the heavies in the Air Force, like the big cargo airplanes.
Well, once you pass your instrument training, don't you get to go to that next level?
You do,
like when
yes.
you...
So there are certain airplanes that you can fly. So I actually get to sit right seat in a airplane called a King Air. It's mm-hmm. like a corporate airplane. And that's going to be a different rating. It's called a multi-engine rating because it has more than one engine. So that's after instrument. But yeah, it's a whole process and definitely my other passion I love to do. And
that's so cool. So
yeah.
Lisa is a pilot. I am so bummed she's not here today. Aww. So we could all talk about that. But Lisa has her pilot's
license.
Part of
the 7%.
My uncle Vinny in Rhode Island had his pilot's license. So
cool.
We used to always go out on the weekend and be like, come on, kid, let's go to Martha's Vineyard. Let's go here. So I'd always jump on the plane with him. And then one summer, the Mount Hope Bridge was out that connected one half of Rhode Island to the other half of Rhode Island. And my best friend, Nikki, lived on that other half. So you'd have to go all the way through Fall River. And it took like an hour and a half, which should drive 20 minutes. So Uncle Vinny used to be like, let's go pick her up on the plane. And I thought I was so cool in middle school.
That is pretty cool.
Because we'd go pick up Nikki over in Middletown from Bristol. And I was all like, yeah, in the plane.
Cool.
But yeah, and there was a period in, you know, being his little co-pilot and learning everything from him piloting that I wanted to do it, and I never did. So yes. I'm a little jelly right now. That's fascinating.
I always like to say it's never too late.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm chapter chair of the Austin 99s, which is a women's pilot organization that helps raise scholarships to help girls learn how to fly. But yeah, we have some students that are in their 50s and learning how to fly and soloing, and it's really exciting to see that they are still pursuing their dreams, even though, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's too old. Never too old.
Well, Lisa and I and my brother and another friend of ours, the four of us are going to go to space camp.
That's awesome.
And we're going to be the best crew ever because Lisa has her pilot's license. And my brother is like video game crazy guy. And he was all like, the plane goes down, I'll get it. I play those video games.
You got the best squad ever.
So I figure with my brother and Lisa, I was like, I will be on anybody's piloting team and just sit in the back and tell me what to do. But my whole dream in life has been space camp, and they have adult space camp. They have adults. Yes, the same space camp we all know of in Alabama has adult version, and you can go for a week or a weekend, and it is not that expensive, and you can make a party or group or bring your family, so we can come in as our own team and our, yes.
That's so awesome.
So cool. See? See? I know. I got to do it because I got to write Space Camp the Musical.
Bucket list.
Yeah, it's a subject that's never been touched upon.
Hey.
Devin, that's really, really cool. So how did you get into theater?
So my family has always sing. My mom sings, my dad sings, and we've just
There's
always. Yeah, that's
my mom's oldest
13.
Of nine.
That's awesome. Yep.
Yep.
Hey. Big families, we love it. It's
I have 37 cousins on one side.
That's
people look
so
at me
cool.
And I was like, yeah, no, man. Irish, 25. Italian, Mexican, Spanish. Olé.
Yes. Oh, that's right. More the merrier. No, we have always, you know, just so musical. We grew up listening to Joseph, you know, Code of Many Colors and just Phantom of the Opera and all of, like, these classic things that we hadn't gotten into, like, the theater community yet, but we were familiar with a lot of the music. And then my younger sister, Bergen, is incredible, incredible singer. Just the girl needs to go to Broadway because she's so talented and amazing. But she wanted to get into theater, and our local theater was, we live in Wimberley, so Emily Ann was the closest one, and they were doing Sound of Music. And so she wanted to go audition for one of the kids and got to play Louisa, and somebody needed to drive her there, so I volunteered and was at all the rehearsals and kind of fell into helping out as kid wrangler. So I helped, you know, since there's seven kids in the show, I was helping, you know, make sure their costumes were all good and they were on stage when they were supposed to be, and it kind of started to learn from backstage, which is always really, really cool.
It's actually very smart because you understand things. Yeah. No,
for
that's
sure.
Very smart.
For sure. Yeah, I got to kind of start learning the ins and outs and got to know Bridget really well. She just had her daughter, Rosalind, so we, you know, kind of got to know her. And then next year we did Beauty and the Beast, and like six of us were in that, I think. Six Collies came out.
That was the first time you jumped up on the stage.
Yes, yeah. I got to play the Enchantress and be an ensemble member, which was amazing. My sister Bergen always, she's just like, I like playing the lead parts, but ensemble is so much fun. Like, you just get to...
There's some shows that the ensemble does way more and has way cooler numbers. Shows where there's a character that's literally on for 5 minutes in this whole 3 hours, and it's the best 5 minutes of the whole
show. That's right.
So She Loves Me was a show I did that I would never want to play anything but the ensemble or one of the customers. Like, I don't want to play anybody else. Like, I want to sing 12 Days to Christmas and ask for some Mona Lisa Cream. Like, I don't, there are certain shows that just kind of, that's really, I love that story. The power of theater. All right, Ashley.
Hey.
So where are you from? Where'd you grow up? What's your story?
Oregon. Yeah.
Portland.
Yes. So I went to school in Oklahoma for Oral Roberts University. I'm a BM musical theater. And then I moved here 2 years ago, directly after, just to pursue theater. and just to be in a bigger city to do that sort of thing. So yeah, that's how I ended up here.
That is a very strange route. Portland, it is. Oklahoma, and Austin. I love it though. Like I love that it's your own little path. So how did you get into theater? So you went to school in Oklahoma for theater, mm-hmm. so you were doing it in Seattle, I presume
I mostly was just doing music. I'm a singer-songwriter, so that's how I kind of got my feet wet into that world, and I also was part of some dance teams, so that always came pretty naturally. As far as theater, I mostly just wanted to be well-rounded. I knew there were other opportunities to be had with music to go into theater, and I just caught the acting bug as soon as I had my first class. So for about several years now, I've been an actor, so I love it.
That's so exciting. And what type of – do you have a genre or type of music you like to play, a preference, or do you really kind of like to
– Yeah, I love jazz. Anything from the – Well, yeah, that concentrated era. I played Lena Horne at one point, and that was like peak music, my genre. So I love that sort of golden era of music, and also just jazz influence. Just soul in general.
That's really exciting. Do you play any instruments?
Keyboard a little bit, but
yeah, I'm jelly of that too. Yeah. Jelly of your flying, and I'm jelly of your keyboards over here. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So, now that how long have you been? You've been in Austin 2 years now, did you say?
Yes. Well, I guess it's going on 3 now with it being 2019. I graduated spring of 2016. So
how do you like Austin? What are you thinking?
I love it. I think it's the perfect next step after college, and I've been really, really blessed to be a part of a variety of different shows. It's just kind of a creator's paradise, and there have been so many, a lot of creatives just put their work out there here, and you get to be a part of the developmental phase with them. So that's been pretty cool.
It's interesting. I've been in Austin almost 20 years now. Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa, as you say, it's 2019. Yeah, I moved in 2001, so whoa. And to see, it's always been a vibrant theater community, but to see the shifts. And, you know, it still has the space issues and certain stuff and growing issues and things. But I feel like the amount of new work and creativity and collaboration that has been going on and has, I don't know, it's kind of been percolating the last year or two. And it's starting to, like, bubble over has been really, really exciting. So you just kind of showed up right at the right time in the middle of all that. Who suggested Austin to you when you were at school in Oklahoma?
I had a friend that lived in Georgetown growing up. But I think with Austin, it's just, I had a few other people that I knew that lived in Austin in college, and it just seemed like a sort of mecca of artists, music mostly, but also, had opportunities for film and things like that. So, I was curious.
Interesting. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And so, Did you have a personal website or like where people could check out your music and all your other like different creativity?
Yeah,
creative ventures you are working on.
Absolutely, I'm always working on new music. My website is just simple, ashleyhazard.com.
Oh, that's really great. So, yeah, that's nice.
You can find my social media on there too.
Awesome sauce. All right, Madison, where are you from?
Hello, I'm from a little town, Richardson, Texas. It's not really that little, but
Richardson's not
smaller
little.
Than Austin, Texas.
It's smaller than Austin, but it's a suburb of Dallas.
That's true.
I was like, what are you talking about? I went to high school in Dallas. So
okay, what high school?
I went to, well, they changed the name now, but I went to the High School of Performing Arts.
It was Booker T. Washington at the time.
It was Arts Magnet at Booker T. Washington.
Oh, okay.
And now it's Booker T. School of Performing Arts.
Right.
Like I think they reverse the names.
It's like
around
Texas State. They just keep changing the name.
Yeah. So it was Arts Magnet at Booker T.
Gotcha.
And my French teacher I was telling you guys about, Dr. Liliane Richemont, she was from Arts Magnet.
Okay.
That was that trip when I saw Les Mis and went over with Marcel Marceau and all that stuff. That was from that high school.
Very cool.
Yeah. I only lived in Dallas for 4 years, three, 4 years. But I have to tell you, I don't like Dallas, but boy, that was the greatest experience of my life going to that high school.
Yeah, I heard it's a great high school.
It was the greatest experience of my life. And the best fried chicken is in Dallas at Bubba's.
Oh, yeah, Bubba's Fried Chicken.
Bubba's Fried Chicken. It's right across from SMU campus. If you are ever looking for the best fried chicken and biscuits in all of the United States, Bubba's would be the place. So I don't know how Lisa's going to be like Nicole and the Bubbas because I took over with Bubbas. I'm obsession with it. So Richardson. So there's actually a lot of theater out in Richardson. There's a few theaters out in Garland and in Richardson. Some really great theater.
Right.
So did you start out in Richardson? And
I actually was not in theater much. I went to high school in Richardson or Plano East Senior High School, and then I moved to Texas State University for college. And that's when I got into the theater. I was just in music before.
Like, so did you go to school for theater or musical direction? I mean, where does this, because you are a musical director right now. So how did you get all these different jobs?
It was a wonderful opportunity. I just started and I met Bridget doing a show, completely random last minute audition. I did a musical with Bridget and that's how I met her. And then she kind of brought me into the Emily Ann family. So I've just been doing full shows and musicals, and this is my first time music directing a show. It kind of just was like, I'll do it, because I wanted the experience, and I love the music.
You thought you'd start with something easy.
Well, that's what I thought. But what happened was half of the songs are actually not on the Broadway track for people to listen to. So yes. Most of the music, we don't have any idea how it sounds until we play it out. So it's been a challenge, but it was such a fun time, and I actually really enjoy the process.
That is so exciting. And look, Bridget, you're just wrangling everybody in to do all sorts of different stuff. And you know what, Bridget, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You've been on backstage before. Haven't you been back here before?
Yeah.
But did you ever tell us what made you start theater? I think we've learned about some of your kind of exciting stuff, but I don't think we've ever asked you before what made you start.
I did not.
You are a catalyst. You bring people together, and you really are a catalyst. So, how did you become that catalyst? Who was your catalyst? Like, where did this all come from?
When I was in high school, I thought I was going to be an attorney, actually, because I did a UIL debate and Lincoln Douglas debate and stuff. I did theater in high school, but we did not have a theater. We performed in the cafeteria on the floor. I went to a super small Orangefield, like right on the border of Louisiana. And so I did not think that my career was going to be theater at that time. And then actually when I went into college, I actually was a music major for 3 years. So I play the flute and piano, though I haven't played piano in a long time. But and while I was in college, I got involved in community theater and had some really amazing, super supportive, super encouraging directors and an artistic director named Keith Cockrell, who taught there, that all kind of like pushed me to, and I was actually a director first. So I was directing and they were like, you have to do this. And so I just started like directing there. And then actually, my ex-husband and I, he was like, I'm going to audition for the Texas State BFA acting program. And I was like, well, I guess I'll audition too. And I just happened to get in. And so got into the acting program at the BFA acting program at Texas State. And actually while there I was president of the Theater On fraternity, and we got sent out for a volunteer project at the Emily Ann. I'd never heard of it. And they had this beautiful outdoor amphitheater main stage.
It really is a beautiful space.
It is. And so I started like asking about it. And at that time, all they did was a summer musical put on by a group of volunteers, different every year, in a high school Shakespeare program. And so I started inquiring about it, and I got brought on to do the high school Shakespeare program the next 2 years. And then they asked me to stay on full time. So then I got to sort of create whatever I wanted there. And so now we, you know, have an full running education program.
So you've been a catalyst for yourself too. That's so cool.
So it was pretty cool. And I do have like a really great, great team of people. And it's an amazing place because I get to do theater. Yeah. The reason I used to come here all the time primarily is because I directed for like 7.5, I've directed 8 times at City Theater.
Yeah.
And used to be super, super involved in the Austin theater scene, but I now run a theater and I have a 5-year-old daughter. So things slow down dramatically after I had Rosalind. But I love it and still try to do like a project. I just did The Fault with Theater Synthesia, acted with them.
I have to say, I've known you a long time and you look the happiest that I've seen you in a long time. Like you really just... You're always a happy person. I don't want everyone to think like you walk around like with the cloud over your head. Don, don, don. Because that's not it at all. But like there is just this, I don't know.
Oh,
there's something
you.
Really like you exude warmth off of you right now that like we're all able to get. And aww, and
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
so you are, I can tell you're in a really good place.
Thank you. Like, well, I have a really phenomenally amazing supportive partner, my husband, Kevin Gates, that's like, because I am really, really busy, very, very busy person, and he is phenomenal.
Well, so we say, shout out Kevin!
Shout out Kevin! Yes!
Woo, woo, shout out! That's so awesome. Simone?
Yes.
Where are you from? What's your story? Why do you do theater?
Well, funny enough, when you said Richardson and then you said Plano East, I went to Plano West.
You were giggling. Okay.
You went to Plano West. I did indeed.
We're enemies.
We are indeed. We are indeed. But I'm from Plano.
So sharks and jets going on over here.
Let's snap it out. Literally.
Let's snap it out.
They were like some hardcore UIL competitions back in the day.
When did you graduate?
2010.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2015.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just missed you.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'm originally from Dallas, Plano. And then I went to Oklahoma as well for college. I went to Oklahoma City University.
Did you two meet in Oklahoma or did you not meet until you were in Austin?
Yeah, we didn't meet until we were here. And it was just like through mutual friends that I had that Ashley was in shows of theirs, and then we found out from going to school in Oklahoma, we like casually know people through the loop, but yeah. So that was fun. But I was in Oklahoma for college, acting and directing, and then I met my husband, and then I convinced him to move down to Austin. My mom and grandparents are originally from Austin, so I'd been visiting throughout my life, but just to see the city grow and how much
theater
is here.
Isn't Austin on a field trip as a kid is
completely different.
Like, I came for my cousin's wedding. You know, I was living in Manhattan and I came for my cousin's wedding. I was like, whoa, this isn't Austin on a field trip. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like, and that was what made me go, oh, I could move back to Texas.
Oh, yeah. Every time my mom comes back to visit, even when she visited for the show last week, I was telling her where the Master George is, and she's like, I don't even know what part of the city I am in anymore. It looks completely different, but it's been so fun being here.
So where did the theater start, the bug for you?
Well, I've been a dancer like for my whole life. So I started in like tap dancing when mm-hmm. I was three, and that turned into ballet all throughout elementary school, middle school. And then I think it was like sometime in like fifth or sixth grade, I was planning on going to a ballet summer camp. And then my mom was like, okay, maybe let's chill on the dance and like get you into some public speaking forum, because I was very, very shy but loved dancing. So then she put me in a musical theater camp for the first time. And ever since, I've just been involved.
Oh, that is so awesome, Sauce. Mm-hmm. All right. Putting the gent on the spot last. And you're going to kill me because I'm totally having a name blank right now and just want to call you Edward Rochester.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's an improvement.
Which is your name, but not in real life.
No, it's Derek Smoots.
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed because all I can think of is Edward Rochester. And I had this smooth.
Quite so, British.
Yes. Thank you, Derek. Sorry about that. Woo. So, Derek, what's your story? Where are you from?
I'm from just north of here in the Leander area. I've always
lived around.
It's
a group of Texans and a Seattle gal. Yeah. You know what? I was born in Jersey and East Coast lady too. So we covered the whole U.S. Yep. There we go. We're done. So you're from north of Austin?
Yes.
All right. And what town? What town?
I grew up in the country outside of Leander.
Oh, all right.
And, I went to the Leander schools there.
Oh, and there was nothing around there at that time.
Oh, yeah. I remember making this big 45-minute trip just to go to the grocery store, and now there's a mall there, and that's an old mall at this point, and yeah.
So did you do theater in Leander, or where did you get the theater bug?
So I've always been just really musically inclined, and so when it came time to choose a thing to do in middle school, I chose band, and I played the saxophone for a few years. Hit high school, and they expect you to march, and I said, to hell with this, man. And I got out of that. And so the next year in high school, I had to pick some elective. And I was actually trying to get into this computer program and just kind of start a professional career kind of thing. But they didn't, some administrative thing, they had put me randomly into theater. And I was like, I'm going to get this fixed in a few days. It's fine. I'm not going to be in this class. But I just kind of decided, I'm here. I'm going to throw myself into this. And I loved it. And I found my tribe. And I had been kind of an introverted, lonely kid and didn't realize how lonely I was before. But I suddenly just had this group of people that I loved it. And they introduced me to Rent. Played the Rent scene. Like, what is this? And that blew my mind.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. So do you play other instruments besides saxophone or just sax?
Yeah, I ditched the saxophone. For some reason, that sensation of a reed vibrating in your mouth, I hate it. I hate it so much. So yeah, that didn't stick. But no, I play the Irish flute now, a little bit of Illan pipes, Irish bagpipes.
Yes, those are like the mini. They're the Irish bagpipes. Mm-hmm, yeah, they're pretty cool.
The ones that you sit and play a bellows. And it they looks actually like a steampunk squid.
Used one on stage during once. At Zach.
Yes, really? They did.
And they cool. The pre-show was all with the Illan too, because everybody's like, that's not a bagpipe. I'm like, no, it's the pipe of my people.
Right.
It's the Irish bagpipe.
That was a cool, yeah.
Yeah, they had the Illan, which is, it's an interesting instrument.
It
it's
is.
Not one that's used.
Yeah, you,
my stepfather was obsessed with bagpipes.
Yeah, so. It ends up, you have seven pipes when you have a full set, but you start out with called a practice set, and it's just the melody pipe, just one pipe that you bounce up and down off your knee to get the bottom note and everything. It's real interesting to see it played. But then once you've got that down, then you add a set of drones, which all play the same note in a different octave, which is very similar to the Scottish Highland bagpipes. But then once you've got that figured out, you know, 20 years down the line, you finally add what are called the regulators, which are three extra pipes that you play with your wrist to play harmonies.
It's a very different, yeah. It's the one bagpipe when you watch, you're like, that's not harmony bagpipes playing. And it's like, no, because it's
and
not
a full
the bagpipe,
set always, they, like the starting price, because they're all custom made. No one mass manufactures these things are like $14,000 just for the basic thing. You know, they're absurd to get a full size set. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay, you guys all got me excited with some cool, interesting, fun facts. All right, so I'm going to end this with one last question. Ashley, what is your favorite song in a musical right now?
Oh, my goodness. I think what's been playing on repeat for me has been Does Anybody Have a Map from Evan Hansen. Dear Evan Hansen. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I just love the
Don't you hear it playing right now? Right on cue.
What?
Another stellar conversation.
Awesome. Mind blown. Wow. Perfect.
It's because of the magical powers of everyone today. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Does anybody have a map? Anybody maybe happen to know how the hell to do this? I don't know if you can tell, but this is me. So where's the map? I need a clue. Cause the scary truth is I'm flying blind, and I'm making this up as I go. It's your senior year, Connor. You are not missing the first day.
I already said I'd go tomorrow.
He doesn't listen. Look at him. He's probably high.
He's definitely high.
I don't want you going to school high, Connor.
Perfect. So then I won't go. Thanks, Mom.
Another masterful attempt ends with disaster.
Interstate's already jammed.
Pour another cup of coffee and watch it all crash and burn.
Connor finished the milk.
It's a puzzle, it's a maze. I try to steer through it a million ways, but each day's another wrong turn.
I better head out.
If Connor's not ready, I'm leaving without him.